Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ben Roy-Tanner.
Hello there.
And What Culture Music's own, and What Culture Horror's own, James Dowse.
Hello.
Hello. We thought we'd gather together as a trifecta of Halo fans to just sort of ponder every last bit thing that's going on with the franchise. It's a bit of a mixed bag, and I'm going to ask a loaded question because I think it'll result in, you know, some charged answers. Do either of you still care about Halo?
Absolutely.
It's all right. I'd like to feel like I do.
It's all right, isn't it? It's been a little bit skew-whiff. I think that the last time that it was truly great might have been back with Reach. And as much as I've played all of them and I've played thousands of hours of Halo in my time, Dowse, I was going to ask you, what's the thing, because you've played a lot more of the Master Chief Collection than I have. I think you stuck with it over the years, even when it was quite spotty. What's the thing that keeps you going back to it? Do you still think that it works in a modern shooter context?
It's very much a retro shooter. I go back in time when I play those games. I'm back in, 2010, 7 for 2001 and all that.
And the world
area.
Was safer.
Yeah, exactly. But I play it knowing that it's old.
Right, okay.
That's what makes it fun. I don't play it as a modern shooter. I play it as a retro, I guess. Mm-hmm. Could you call it a retro shooter? I guess you can.
Well, that was one of the things I was going to say about, because I dip back into the MCC every now and then. I just have it installed all the time. It's it is one of those casual games that you drop into. But having seen the advancements of Titanfall, even Borderlands 3, adding the knee slides and the more kinetic movement and stuff like that, there's something about Halo that I think it struggles with modernizing the formula, because the more they try to modernize it, the more the old school fans hate it. And they tried that with Halo 5. But Ben Ray, what's your overall thoughts on just where Halo sits right now?
I get the take of the retro shooter and stuff as well. And it's with me, Halo, I have never played a campaign on my own. I've always played Halo with a friend. I think I've tried to do it once and it just didn't feel right. Halo is not something for me that I will ever play alone. I remember when playing ODST, for example, getting that midnight launch, earn a bit for a few hours. All four of us, legendary, played it in 3 hours, bit finished, done, boom, gone, dead. Although I say that, Halo, there were times when you didn't have the internet, you could just get a few games. But yeah, for me, it's a solo, it's not solo experience, it's one that I've always played casually, mates, and you exist there so they can get the heroic trophy, the legendary, difficulty trophy, and you're the sponge on easy, just go, shoot me, grunt, sort of thing. But when you talk about the combat, it's weird because all these things that they tried to add to Halo over the years have just kind of watered down the experience. The jetpack's cool, I think, but everything else is And I think the going into a bit more of the combat stuff, the grappling hook, I feel as we saw bits of that, and I feel as it looks slow though, I feel this might be what I would say as well, the perfect addition to the combat, because I like the pace of it. I wouldn't mind Chief moving a bit faster, but for me, it feels like the Halo that I want, and I don't want Halo to be Modern Warfare, you know what I mean?
That's
a ramble, but I'm trying to get my point over.
I think, but you make a good point in terms of what they can bring to the table that isn't going to annoy everybody. Because I remember in the run-up to Halo 5 when it was look down, as soon as they brought look down the sights to every weapon, everyone was like, oh my God, it's Call of Duty, you guys don't know what you're doing anymore. And it's not Halo anymore and whatever. And we're 5 years later now, and their big sort of forward step is open world and the grappling hook. And so far, obviously Halo Infinite has had a bit of a mixed reception, but the grappling hook implementation went down pretty pretty well in terms of it being the next thing you can do in a Halo game. But I mean, actually, I guess, like, yeah, what did you guys think of that stuff?
If you think about it, the grab, like, in Halo, the juggernaut weapon is just lobbing someone in the face of your fist, hitting the back of your gun. That is like the game ender for a lot of enemies, and even in multiplayer as well. So getting the grappling hook is addition to grab something and get towards it. I feel like that can negate a lot of the things that trying to get move around quicker, because you want to take their shield out, get in, punch them in the face, and move on and chase the grunt that wants
the thing that stuck out. It's true. The thing that stuck out with the grappling hook is that, for me, the gold standard of first person shooter grappling hooks is Titanfall 2, because they at least they applied a physics model to it. It's in Overwatch as well, if you play as that hamster or whatever it is, where you like you swing around as the wrecking ball, and you get that feeling of momentum where like you're jumping into something, you're firing the grappling hook out, and it's Spider-Man swings you in a direction that you maybe didn't plan for initially. And I like that you can sort of, you feel the movement of that in a way that like direct to point grappling hooks don't do. And that's the thing, if you're gonna be Halo, you're like the big innovator in the first person shooter genre. I was a little bit, I wasn't good or anything, but I was a little bit like, okay, you've done a grappling hook, you've done an open world. Like,
it's weird, because if you think about it in that context, if you used to grapple, because I mentioned if you grappled like a grunt, you wouldn't fly towards it, you'd pull it towards you. Or if you play like most enemies, you'd end up pulling them towards you rather than going that way. So it's probably a weird like sci-fi space thing that they've got around with somehow being I don't know where the game, if it's going to be all set on the Halo or if it's going to go to another planet, so they might get around it that way. But yeah, I know what you mean, it does seem a bit off.
Well, apparently the original plan was to make all of a Halo completely open world, and then that thing got scrapped halfway through development, and they've sort of pivoted back into the open world chunks that they have now. But yeah, Daz, what did you think of the Halo 5 stuff?
I think what will be interesting is in Halo 5 with the combat system, you had a lot of armor abilities tied to the controller. You had Spartan shoot downwards. That was one. And then slide.
That's what they called it.
Yeah, there. And then clamber. You had all of these armor abilities, what you had in Halo Reach and in Halo 4, where there was just individual like run or whatever. Mm. Everything was in one controller. So it was quite cool. And now they're getting rid of it all, potentially, for a grappling hook. So like I've spent all this time getting used to all of these new abilities for it to now be a grappling hook. It'll be interesting. I think personally, as we just said then, it's a bit slow because obviously he's a 500 million ton machine man.
You say I'm thinking of that though, like in the gameplay, I'm not thinking like I'll go with whatever they can convince me is, you know, like applicable in that context. Like they spent that whole reveal being like, it's the fanciest grappling hook ever. It's the most like high tech alien thing ever. Like if that pulls Master Chief along, you know, the landscape in a few seconds, I'll go with it. Like I don't need it to make, I guess, realistic sense.
Yeah. You say all these abilities tied to that. Yeah. And they were for the however long it took me to beat that game, just going through it. But like grabbing and stuff like that can just be in there without having to be activated, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah. Like, certain abilities like the ground and planet, just they don't seem to me worth being standouts. They seem like a thing that were shoehorned in and just like have grown since then. Like I never really enjoyed the abilities in Reach myself. I like the jetpack. Yeah. I feel like that should be a thing. It just helps, especially with the more vertical Halo levels, and especially multiplayer. Like they're literally arenas rather than like a landscape, and it's always fun to get up there and just punch someone in the face, really.
One thing that I think Microsoft are kind of pushing forward with, or at least to me, this, like, you guys might not agree with this, but I feel like they're trying to like bulk out their franchises in like a traditionalist feel, kind of like Nintendo, where it's like, we're going to go back to like Gears of War. Like Gears 5 is the strongest Gears has been in years. And it's like, but the gameplay is still very much rooted in how it was in the 2000s with like minimal fundamental changes for the betterment of that fan base. And like Ben Royd, obviously you're a massive fan, but I think that they're played into like a traditional feel. And it's like, okay, like, I mean, on Nintendo's side, like they take incremental steps forward with each particular franchise. Like the latest Kirby and Yoshi games are nigh on the same as the older ones, like, you know, in terms of like base mechanics. So it's one of those things where, like, in Xbox's case with Halo, it's just maybe it's such an intentional thing to be like, well, we're just going to keep it as traditional as possible. We're not really going to shake things up. It's just going to have the grappling hook. But for me, as someone who champions new stuff and really wants like big innovations, I just wonder if Halo is the franchise that can even do that anymore, whether people just know exactly what they're getting at this point.
It seems like Halo kicked off something like the big bang of console first person shooters, and it's kind of remained there. And
I don't think it's remained there.
No, it remained there and not spread out and sort of grown and expanded, whereas everything else has come out of it, sort of thing. So it's just stayed in its bubble. Whereas, like, you go back to the Gears thing, I mean, Gears of War, like, basically convinced the Rockstar to put cover-based mechanics in GTA, pretty much. Like, that's what, if you can influence the GTA, I'm stealing other people's words here before, then, like, you, it's big time. And it's weird. Like, they've added little things over the time. Like, you can now jump over and punch someone as you get over, and you can counter that. But, yeah, it's hard to rip it out and start again when people like me are rooted in what they want. And I think they're trying to go back to what older Halo fans want rather than these... This new Master Chief collection generation of people.
We should talk about that stuff, because Dallas, you said before we were recording that, like, you quite like the art direction that they're going for. The score is very much old school Halo. As soon as you hear those drums kick in, it is old school Marty O'Donnell style Halo. And then the level layout, the art direction is very much connoting Silent Cartographer. It's just sort of like, hey, remember when you played that in 2002 and it was amazing? Like, that's what they're kind of going for. Did that totally work on you though, as like a bigger sort of Halo fan?
Definitely on terms of 343's Halo games, it was, the music was, as you said just then, it sounded like a Halo game. And it has, well, when was the last time? 2012, wasn't it, Halo 4? And they don't ever put the music in Halos anymore. I don't know why. That's the theme tune. And I don't think I've heard that since 2007?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It wasn't even in Halo Reach. So why?
You finished the fight. The fight was finished. It never got woken up.
They did, for the Halo 2 Anniversary Edition, they went back and got Steve Vai and did like a more sort of riffy version of the original Molnir mix. But I'll still take the Molnir one. I think it's more...
Halo 2
it's not subtle,
Anniversary.
But yeah, yeah.
Halo 2 Anniversary is great.
Yes,
look at those cutscenes. Look at those cutscenes.
You were like playing on with that, I think, as well, in terms of just like what sort of the lifeblood of Halo. Like, that was the time when it was at the absolute peak, when it was Halo 3 like shut down Times Square to like everybody to sit and watch the reveal of it and everything. But that's another thing as well that's tied into like all this modernization stuff is like, is Halo's fan base just like, is us where we're older, like the teenagers and the youth even care about Halo? And like, is that traditionalist stuff a double-edged sword? And like, is it even marketable in a long term to focus on us?
I think Halo being so tied to Xbox, because it basically launched Xbox, and it could be the reason why the brand exists today. Yep. I think because it's so tied to that brand, and after the Dometric era tanked the brand, I think like it tanked Halo as well at the same time. Because we don't know how many Xbox Ones are ever sold, but like, that's how many people, until they start putting it on Steam, are ever going to play those games now. Whereas you've got, like, on the other side, Sony's like, yeah, we're good, and we're sending loads, and people are playing our games, and blah. But Halo just sort of, like, tanked with the brand, I think.
Do you think that if the Xbox One, if, say, Don Matrick had absolutely slayed that presentation, he didn't do the interview with Jeff Keighley, he got everything spot on, and they landed the Xbox One, and we're all just loving the Xbox One, all the momentum from the 360 carried forward, do you think that Halo would still be in the position that it was after Halo Reach? Because for me, it's way more on 343 side than
we'd be Microsoft. Playing Halo. I mean, apart from the 343 issues, we're probably playing Halo 7 now. So,
yeah, they probably would have milked it a hell of a lot faster. But it's just, I like Halo 4 a lot, but it's just,
I was gonna say, they had Halo 4, which was a year prior to Xbox One. Not too sure why they didn't just make it an Xbox One release game.
It's something about the Prometheans, though, that I could never get with.
I felt like the campaign was decent, it was a decent thing. The multiplayer was just a bit Halo Reach 0.2.
Well, look, that's another thing as well, is like, you have one of those like, you know, typical cases of a development studio, a team of creatives moving on and giving the IP to someone else, like Crash Bandicoot. I mean, we'll see how Crash 4 is, but Crash was never as good as his original Naughty Dog run, you know, in the hands of someone else. And like, you know, like, you can argue back and forth on Gears versus like Cliff Bleszinski's original trilogy. Like, obviously Gears Judgment was a bit of a down point. They sort of come back with 4 and 5, but in Halo's case, 343 have, the word struggled has definitely like applied to 4, 5.
Yeah.
And the Master Chief Collection.
And because they don't make Halo Wars either, and that's probably the most popular. Yeah. Like, that's got the fan base at the moment. Halo Wars is the thing. Like, I was finally swayed to play Halo Wars 2.
Wars is great. Yeah.
Wars is, and just like, just getting it down, just doing some good old RTS action. Just playing for Gears Tactics, by the way. Where is Gears Tactics?
Where is Gears Tactics?
On Xbox. And it's weird how that sort of, the side franchise has become sort of the torchbearer at the moment. And I know a lot of people playing Halo 5 might play still, but I feel that's also rooted in despair, and like, the lead of Halo 5 is gone before he got to finish Infinite, so that's probably another reason why Infinite is in its turmoil of despair. So it's like, I don't know, it's to me, it's all, I think it's tied to the generational thing. I think it's the 343 issues, and it's just Halo,
something about the brand like, feels a little bit tired. And I think like that sort of came through in the Infinite, like the Infinite gameplay. But I was going to say as well, in terms of the wider mythology, have you guys read any of the books or the comics or like dove into the wider stuff? Or is your experience with Halo the main games?
I've read enough Wikipedia articles to feel like I have read the books, to be honest.
Because there's a really good... Oh, good.
Go on. No, go on.
For me, it's the Reach book I went Before over. Reach. But yeah. And but for me, I'll go to the mythology and stuff. I think this is why I like Devil. I don't know if my video is out yet, but between Gears and Halo and why Gears is doing so much better than Halo at the moment is because Halo, to me, doesn't really feel like it's got characters anymore. It introduced a lot of people in sort of like the year 4 and 5, but these are people I don't care about. Like, if I see Master Chief, I don't know if he's sad or not, but you see Marcus get upset at the end of Gears 5 or mid-Gears 5, and you want to cry with him.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of thing that brings you back in. But when it's like the only real cute, like they killed off people like Sergeant Johnson. I mean, I even like Guilty Spark, but the Arbiter just goes off and chills and does what he wants now. Mm-hmm. And Chief is he the bad guy sort of thing? And you've got Locke, who I don't feel was established enough. And I think the rooted problem of this is the characters and the things that none of these are people we care about or have had time to care about. They're just kind of feel there, and they're just fulfilling their role in the game. Like, this is the science person. This also, is the army man.
I was going to say, one of the biggest missed opportunities as well was like potentially fleshing out new characters in Halo 5, like the guy, Nathan Fillion's character. I forget what you call it. It's like Kate or whatever else, the little squad that was part of like the orphan. Yeah, blue team. And it's like they had a whole opportunity there to absolutely nail that, which again ties into 343's kind of mishandling of it in terms of the marketing campaign.
If that's I remember reading prior to Halo 5 coming out that they said, here is some new characters. I don't know. Linda, Fred, Kelly. I don't know if they might actually be the names. I think Linda is one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like they said, if you know the books, you'll love these characters because you'll know them. I've not read most of the books. So I don't have a clue who these people are. And it's saying you'll love them. I don't think I cared about them. And then they're now gone again.
Another like pivot as well is like there's a great video over on Polygon where Brian David Green, I think he's called, went back through all the Halo novels, just read all of them in the space of like a year, and talked about the timeline and like how that lines up with how Microsoft 343 and Bungie approached the wider lore itself. How that like before you got to around about before Halo 4, it was a tied-off story. It was like Master Chief goes up against the Covenant, defeats the aliens, and it's done. And then once they realized that, hey, we can make some more of these, Bungie were going to leave and, you know, 343 were going to step in, they started building a wider mythology. And all of a sudden you had the stuff with Master Chief being like this war orphan, this kid who sort of experimented on, and like, you know, John and all that sort of stuff. And like that pivot is weird because all that stuff, once you know all the amount of detail that's in there, that should be one of the most fascinating Lord of the Rings level incredible mythologies ever. But I feel like that never really comes through. And like, it's such a missed opportunity.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
It kind of feels like me with the Star Wars books, how I'm listening, how, like, I'm going through the Thrawn stuff and all, like, the Lords of the Sith and all that sort of thing. And I'm like, ah, oh, Star Wars is so great. And then, like, you go to people that are just watching the films, and it's a bit at the moment. And it does feel kind of that sort of situation where so much is being fleshed into the outer rim, you should say, but nothing's in the core at the moment.
Yeah.
And, like, say, with the Spartans that introduced Fred, Jeff, and Bob in the new one,
Trevor,
I can, when I went back to Reach, I could still remember, like, I can't remember their names because I'm terrible. I can still remember, they had more of a personality and stuff like that. And they felt more alive, whereas they don't just feel like toys in the new one.
But I think, like, Reach was very much going for that in terms of, like, everyone going in knew that they weren't going to make it out. And so they had to nail that stuff for that story to even remotely work. It had to be, look at the lives that were thrown at this problem to, like, defend Reach or whatever. But I guess just, it's one of those things where, like, what would you even do to make Halo work in, like, a modern context? Because when I finally saw the Halo Infinite, when they started revealing the gameplay trailer and you saw the new character, the guy that's, like, you know, rescue chief out of space and they're going to this new planet, that almost feels like they completely did away with what happened in Halo 4 and 5, all the stuff with Cortana and the rampancy and all that kind of thing. And, like, that was one of the only sort of, like, for me, one of the only interesting things was, okay, if you view this as a trilogy, which they used to refer to it as, like, 4, 5, and 6 was the next trilogy of stories, then nothing in Infinite so far has anything to do with those previous two installments. It's just open world Halo.
But there was such a backlash from Halo 5 story, though, wasn't there?
But you can fix that, though, right? Like, I mean, that's like a Last Jedi. I don't know, for me, like, that's like a Last Jedi Rise of Skywalker problem. Like, you can't pretend you didn't do the thing you did.
Yeah,
it's video games.
Video games are like novels in the sense that they're so much longer and you can get so much more into them than a 2-3 hour film. So I think it's doable. Like, a quick pitch here is that you start that, have that thing in Halo Infinite be the beginning of Halo Infinite, and then after the chief does that mission, and then maybe you have angry brute guy that I can't remember his name either. Craig's dad.
You mean Atriox, or the guy that works for Atriox? Yeah.
And then just have Chief sit down and just break down and become more of a human, and, like, have him speak to, like, a buck or something, and, like, have them reminisce about, like, say, I mentioned, like, mention New Mombasa being totally obliterated, like, have some sort of ties back to other things.
One thing with because, like, Cortana is so iconic. I know they finally discontinued her voice pack on the Microsoft Store or as a Microsoft assistant. But like, so many iconic Halo moments are front loaded by Cortana. Like, when she it's her voice when Chief walks out of the dust for Halo 3. The whole story of Halo 4 was, oh my god, what's happening? What's the relationship between Cortana and a young John, and how she stabilizes him and makes sure that he doesn't, like, lose his mind during the experimentation. Like, that's such a great narrative hook, and it's a great way to flesh out the Chief. And they have said that Halo Infinite, like, is still the end of that trilogy, but I don't get any feel of that. But when I was mentioning, like, the idea of, like, pivoting back around and saving it, Dalsor, how did you, like, thought of the way they've done that sort of trilogy?
I mean, they started off strong, in my opinion, with the campaign.
Were you a fan of Halo 5's twists?
I couldn't care less about 5's twists. I like the multiplayer. I just thought 4, how it ended was interesting. And I couldn't wait to see what it would look like on the next generation of consoles. And then it came out, and I don't know what the plot was. I don't know what happened in Halo 5. I don't know.
Cortana's a bit mad.
It was the chief was the bad man, and Locke was going after him. And wait, he wasn't, because he was doing the secret thing, but he couldn't tell them about the secret thing because story stuff.
That's another thing too, is it's really hard to win back gamer's opinion, public opinion, when you've misled people on that level, when you had a whole campaign, like, hunt the truth, like, we're going to reveal this big thing that Master Chief did and something from his past or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think I've been that involved with a game's marketing as much as Halo 5. I listened to all the podcasts,
it was just a lie.
All of the audiobooks, and none of it came true.
Mm-hmm. They said the same thing. It was like after the fact with an IGN interview where they, because IGN very much went with Halo 5 lied. Like there's just this full on like article tearing it down or you know clarifying everything. And there was interviews with the marketing like you know wing of 343 just saying like yeah we had a lot of fun with that game's marketing. And it's like what was your mission statement at the beginning? What were you allowed to run with? That resulted in you doing all this and no one else stepping in and going oh actually guys that's not what we're doing anymore or that's not going to work. Like that's just not going to line up. I think it's hard to sort of pull that stuff back. But
I feel like the plan for Halo 6 originally was going to be Chief fighting through all of Cortana's forces. And at the end, he has to shut her down and kill her. Mm-hmm. But then they realize everyone loves Cortana. And that's one of the three characters that actually have left that anyone actually has any tie to. So now they're like, oh, we can't kill Cortana. Let's just reset and do some of the things. And it just feels like it wasn't thought through. It's like, you know, someone fades away and just dies and no one cares.
Well, at the end of the E3 2019 trailer for Halo Infinite, he puts a little chip in his helmet, which signifies that she's potentially back again.
Yes. I mean, I think they'll do something with Cortana, but I just like the way that they're setting the game. Like maybe they make Cortana as the big bad who's behind all these various little factions that are spread across another Halo, or she's gotten some sort of position on some sort of power mad trip. And ultimately it will reverb. I mean, Cortana's going to be in it. Clearly she's too important to not get to, but story was so much of a focus of Halo 4 and 5's initial reveals, especially 5, that to sort of discard that and then just, it feels like they're making a campaign over what assets are finished as opposed to like, we've had 5 years and I don't really feel any sense of like authority on behalf of the creators at the minute.
Yeah.
It took a long time to build Craig.
That's another thing is like one of the biggest takeaway points of that reveal was what is ostensibly like a texture bug where you got this weird looking half animated face that is part of one of the brutes. It's just a weird thing to go with, but yeah, I guess like going forward, because Benroy, you play an absolute ton of Gears. Like, do you think they should, because I know you've just published a video or you're about to publish a video on stuff that Halo Infinite can learn from Gears, but do you think the approach is character-based and like seasonal, like getting a fan base involved on a week-by-week kind of basis?
I think it's definitely the character-based. It's tying characters in and making people care and want to see what happens next and having a narrative that isn't simply a lie. Like, I came up on the point that you look at Halo's characters, there's no one you can relate to. Halo 5 looks pretty, but I don't care about these environments or anything. It just feels like blah, space stuff. Whereas like, let's have, with Gears 5, sure, it goes back to an old location, from Gears 2, A New Hope facility. Mm-hmm. And then for me, I had no idea that was coming. I was like, oh my, and just like pulls you into the nerddom and then he wants you to pull in more. And it brings like the enemies, like the Prometheans, as well, or another thing that I have never cared about. And sure, you can just do the Covenant, but you can just change them a bit. Like, say, with the Locusts and the Swarm, in that game, they tied them even more together and just made it feel like a cohesive unit. So now it feels like a complete saga, whereas Halo feels like these games and then these two games, and it feels so separate. Mm-hmm. Right. Halo Infinite needs to bring it back in some way, but I don't know how they do it because they've killed everyone.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, Aatrox is still out there. Like, I love the whole thing that he represents to, like, the whole religious side of the Covenant, and they, you know, worship all the what do you call those floating old lads? I forget what they're called. Prophets. They're called the prophets because there's like three different prophets, and I like the idea that Aatrox is just this sort of like manifestation
engineers
of rebellion
and stuff like that, and all this.
They're engineering their own religious doctrines, but like that whole thing of like, I like the idea that what Aatrox brings to that canon in terms of he's so. Like, he is a loose cannon, to spell cannon the other way, and that's what they're trying to sort of sort out as well. Like, that's a really interesting wrinkle to, like, this dogmatic covenant that they could sort of dive into more.
Just change up Chief a bit. I think have him actually break down on something, actually show him some humanity. Mm. Doesn't have to take his helmet off, but be like, he's lost the Cortana, she's doing some nefarious stuff and trying to do all this bollocks, and then you've got Aatrox being like, Craig, destroy the galaxy. And then just have Chief like, what was it all for? And just thinking back, then have someone like Buck, who people can relate to from ODST, and they can talk about their time finally coming up there and what it for. And then you can have some of that discourse and you can actually have some meaning to it rather than face the super soldier Spartan person, which is cool, but it doesn't carry for this long. I think that's what the problem there.
Yeah. Do you not think that's why they brought the pilot in, to show emotion? the pilot.
But then he shows emotion and not the chief. Like chief.
I mean, so the chief is going to be an emotionless fella, and then this pilot is the cry man.
I think you need to have the chief be actually. It's weird because I don't want him to start spouting like thousands of words in a big monologue or anything. I just want him to, like, in his physical form, like sit down and just like feel sad or something. Yeah, and then like have this beginning mission on this Halo and punching Craig, and then go down to a low point and come back and then sort of like look towards the future, like tie everything back and then bring it forward.
To be fair, like, because they do delve into so much, like, I'm all for the way that Halo 4 kicks off. I really like that cutscene, that whole sort of, like, I guess it is, like, kind of a retcon, that whole thing about how much Cortana anchors John and, like, it makes him work, and she's, like, his center. I like all that stuff, because I felt like it was done with enough confidence that I just believed it, and I was like, cool, this is where you're going. Outside the whole, you know, they didn't originate the mythos, so how dare this other company come in and change things? As an actual plot point, I thought that was interesting, and it had, like, a future. But at the minute, like you said, Benroy, like Chief right now shouldn't be in the best of spirits. He really shouldn't be up for going on this massive adventure with this random dude that he just met like a week ago, because his best friend, his ostensibly like his wife, his partner, his companion is like, you know, out there murdering people, and he should be broken because of that. But they sidestep.
And also he's gone back to wearing his old armor from his glory days. It's almost like, because in the end of Halo 5, his visor's cracked and stuff, but now he's gone back to an older armor. It's like trying to revisit when things were good and happy and he could just beat some aliens and win.
That's so kind of my Nintendo thing, because they want him to look like the traditional version. It's not like Mario changed his overalls. Like, they, you know, they want him to be this like totemic version of Master Chief, and that you'll have forever.
When the Xbox One first was announced and they showed off the Halo trailer for the trilogy, and it was him with that cape walking on the sand dunes. Like, in there he had his visor cracked. That didn't happen in Halo 4, but it happened at the end of Halo 5.
Mm.
So that trailer that came out 2 years before the game, what is that actually a trailer for?
It's a good point.
He met up with the angel guardian fella thing.
Yeah, those big creatures are in the end of 5, right?
They're throughout 5. That's the campaign.
I think it was just basically they made something that looked cool, and they lied. They wanted Chief to be all disheveled as if he could in that suit, and then he just wasn't.
That speaks to a potential plan for that trilogy that they quote unquote abandoned or didn't follow through on or whatever, because that trailer, like Dow said, predates Halo 5. So they always had this idea of the angels, of Cortana meeting up with them, with the rampancy and everything else. And that was going to be the through line that ties these games together. But at the minute, it's because going into Halo Infinite, it doesn't feel like the climax of a trilogy or even a bridging point into something else.
Yeah, 5 was just 4 groups of Spartans versus 4 groups of, I don't know what you call Locke and Buck and all that, but a group of like supers chasing another group of supers and thinking out, we're all super friends. We're actually all just super friends.
That was the thing. It was all sort of like skated over.
Then they met up with the Arbiter as well, didn't they? And Halsey. Yes. Mm-hmm. And where are they now?
All the Halsey stuff, like, I mean, all the Spec Ops, the Spartan Ops stuff that they did in Halo 4,
didn't she?
Yes, but I like how they fleshed that stuff out too, even though a lot of the morals are all over the place in terms of like the amount of experimentation on children that she's done, but she's still supposed to be like not completely reprehensible, but the way that they sort of frame it. But yeah, it's a big old mess. What are you either of you guys closing thoughts on, just I guess if you wrap it all the way back around to, do we care about Halo? Yes, we clearly do. But it's just, do you see this game releasing, I guess, in the first half of 2021? Or just, do you think it's going to come together well enough in the initial sort of few month launch window of the Xbox? Or is it something we're going to be waiting on, like the MCC?
I think something what is good to note is their response to community. Mm. Like, they talk to their audience, and like with the, like, I feel like I've been a part of the MCC's development on the PC, because they're always giving monthly updates. So I feel like they are listening, which, after all of these complaints, they listen to, and now
people are loud.
Yeah, so like I feel like they're a developer who listens.
Take that's that good. They just need to implement the stuff that they're listening to, because it's not like fan bases will ever not shout at them. It depends on them. Benro, what's your thoughts on how it'll go for the rest of this year into next year?
I was just trying to think. So I think at this point, I don't think it's been ready for Q1. And then why would you, unless they had to meet the financial year, then why not just release it on the 15th of November, 2021, yeah, 20 years after Halo Combat Evolved came out. I mean, at this point, if they're going to release it mid-year, they might as well wait a bit more and do it on that day and get people.
The thing is, they'll have all that stuff planned anyway. Like, ideally, they would have Halo Infinite ready for the launch of the Xbox. Something that there was an old interview about, like 343. There was a leaked thing on from Review Tech USA that apparently, according to his insider, 343 were the ones who said to Microsoft, "No, we can get this ready for launch on the Xbox." Which you take that for whatever you want. But either way, they'll have something ready for the 20th anniversary of Halo, which this game being delayed knocks all that out of sync as well. So like their ideal rollout is just, you know, somewhere in 2021 we're getting Halo Infinite, and then a few months later the big 20th anniversary thing, where you could have just tied those together or had a full year between them. But yeah, it's a big old mess, but hopefully it'll come together. There's enough love for Halo in there in the core that hopefully it'll sort of work out eventually.
It works.
we have enough hope it'll come together. But yeah, let us know anything down in the comments below if you're following on the video side of things, or come find us on Twitter if you're listening along on the audio platforms. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Grunt birthday party.
And James Dowse.
Yes.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Ah!
Swamp.
3
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.